Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Hey, Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Johnny Widdicombe.
That was efficient, Josh.
Yeah, bang. I was expecting more, but it got the job done.
And more in quantity, not quality.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was exactly the amount of quality I was looking for. Here's Jack. Jack is 23 months old. His dad is 399 months old. Oh, big exciting 400 coming up. He's obsessed with all things vehicles and makes us laugh with his sayings such as ambience and Sharon for orange. We have no idea why. The podcast is so good. It makes me regularly cry with laughter on my commute. Thanks, Sarah. Age 399. Oh, they're the same month old. Isn't that lovely? Dad and the mum are both 399 months old. Their parents had sex in the same month.
That's a weird way to look at it.
It is.
Yeah, the same month and year, probably day. Probably, yeah. Oh, quite a sexy day that, Josh. Josh, I'm at my limit of people posting pictures of their kids going to school on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's Friday. Kids went back to school this week, some on Monday, some Wednesday wankers went back on Wednesday. I just don't want to see children by a front door anymore.
No.
I just don't give a fuck about your kid kind of school, Josh. And I certainly don't want to see what they look like.
Who's pushed you over the edge?
Well, no, it's just I think it's more, though, to be honest, I've calmed down now, the week's gone on, but it was more the Monday and Tuesday when my kids weren't going back to Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
That's been my main problem.
That's a kick in the Jaffers, big stuff.
I knew he was going to say Jaffers. That's coming your new one, isn't it?
I like the
Let
kick
me tell
in
you something.
Jaffers.
I'll tell you that for free. That was a right kick in the Jaffers.
Well, I've had a lot more kicks in the Jaffers than things for free recently. Oh, here's something, Ro. Here's a kick in the Jaffers.
Go on. Give me some Jaff kick.
Rose bought some strawberries. You know when Rose doesn't look at the sizes of things correctly?
Oh, yes, of course. The Rice Krispies.
The Rice Krispies, you remember, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, for crying out loud.
That's another one of yours. You're like Woody from Toy Story. You should just get a string in your back and I could just pull it when I need one of those lines. There's a snake in my boot.
So she bought some blueberries and strawberries and mushrooms. So I've put Rose's sunglasses in there for
scale.
For perspective.
Yep, that is a lot of I'd say too many blueberries.
Do you want to know how many strawberries it is?
That must have been about 15 quids.
Yeah, 66 strawberries, Rob.
My girls would smash them, though, but that's the size strawberries
66,
we buy.
66, is it?
Yeah.
And how long does that last you? A
couple of days.
Fuck off.
They will hammer through that.
What's going on in your house? They must be shitting like nothing.
They do. They're very regular. It's good for you, though, isn't it? Strawberries, are they good ones or bad sugars?
They're good.
I don't understand fruit.
I just think fruit's good for you, isn't it? Come on.
Give us something.
Give us a fucking break. Let fruit be good for you.
In a world where fruit's not good. I was actually
Yeah, what are we doing anymore if you can't have fruit?
I know, I agree.
No one's ever had a heart attack because they've eaten too many bananas.
They probably have. Let me Google that.
They probably have. Don't write in. Don't write in.
Trigger warning to anyone who's
lost
someone for a banana.
I used to work with a man in Waterstones, Rob, who was afraid of bananas.
My mate's like that. He's literally terrified, making him feel sick.
Yeah, he has to. And so if anyone in the staff room ate a banana, he'd have to leave.
Oh, well, Josh, here's this. You couldn't have been more wrong about bananas.
Oh,
this study analysed 25,000 older British people, those who regularly ate potassium-rich food, like bananas. Were 13% less likely to end up having a heart attack or stroke, but 43% more likely to have a very funny fall.
Really nice.
I added
really
the nice. Bit. But yeah, actually, yeah. Potassium's good for you. Get it up, yeah.
Oh, well,
get
there
it
you up, go. Yeah. Munch on. Munch on, banana
get
fans.
Munch on. I've had a carrot munches. I've not had a banana munches. Get munching.
What's your top three fruits, Rob? And then we'll bring our guest on.
Oh, question. Okay, here we go. Let's talk to me here. Mangoes up there.
Yeah.
Pineapple. But it all depends.
He's keeping it tropical. He's keeping it tropical.
It's like lilt my belly. I'd say, yeah, but then you got, it's a pink lady apple's absolutely sensational. If it's cold, I love a watermelon, very refreshing. It depends on the weather as well, but I'd say watermelon, mango and pineapple, they're my top three, really.
Really? Oh. Yeah.
A good strawberry, but strawberries can just be a bit tasteless.
I've got to say, even in your fruit tastes, you make it clear you're a man who likes to holiday. Even in your fruit taste, right. You're imagining.
J'adore le vacation.
You're imagining yourself on a lilo in a swimming pool, eating your mango, your pineapple.
I don't like eating fruit in the cold.
No, fair enough.
Fruit in the cold's horrible.
You're going to say this is absolutely classic, Widdicombe.
Oh, but it's going to be a horrible Bramley apple, something like that. Big green,
Granny Smith. Thank you very much.
Oh, you dirty, dry sandpaper tongue, Plymouth prick. Horrible. That's when you eat a Granny Smith. Anything called Granny Smith? Of course you like Granny Smith.
Just classic Granny Smith. Oh, just so the itchy. Way God intended the
so
apple.
So mouth itchy. Okay, oh, Granny Smith. What else is up there?
Granny Smith. I love a strawberry.
Don't get me wrong. The strawberry for me is hovering around third or fourth. It's in the Champions League for me, the strawberry. Yeah. But I've had too many under par strawberries recently, and it's annoying me. But if you get a good one, and you don't want cold strawberries, you need them to be room temp.
And then I'm going to go grapefruit. Love a grapefruit.
Are you okay? That's not even a fruit. I don't even class that as fruit. It's like battery acid. Grapefruit. Cut in half with a spoon, my mum used to give me. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes, like, please.
Eating the bottom of a fucking boot.
I see grapefruit in a hotel buffet under the air.
I just like, what kind of weird evacuee OAPs have they got in this hotel that are chomping on a grapefruit like it's some sort of magic? It's disgusting grapefruit. Horrible. Absolutely. What do you get out of it? It's all sour. It's like
what do you get out of it? Joy.
What's the taste?
Sour.
Oh. Right, so you've got a Granny Smith. Are you doing this to banter to try and make it different to mine?
No, I'm not.
You're not. This isn't like you're doing it on purpose where like you're
I'm
trying
to. I'm pranking you.
Okay. What's your third?
I've said strawberry. I like a strawberry.
Right. Okay. Strawberry, Granny Smith, grapefruit. Grapes are nice, though.
I like a grape.
A red grape, not a green grape.
Oh, I love a green grape.
Of course he does. Absolutely. Of course he does.
This is why it works, Rob. This is what...
I can't believe... I just... When you get wrapped up in your award, I just can't believe people like you exist. Like when I see a grapefruit in a shop, I'm like, who's buying that?
Hey, right, come along. Porridge and grapefruit for breakfast.
Do you like mango?
Yeah, I do like mango.
But not as much as a grapefruit. So if there's a mango in front of you and a grapefruit, you're going grapefruit.
Yeah, I mean, I can't specify enough how much... Hey, that's how it works with favourites.
That's how it works with favourites. I'd pick it over the other one.
Okay, who's our guest today, Rob? Who's our guest today and what are their favourite fruits?
Well, we can ask them, but I don't know if... I remember, actually, I drove you to Oxford once and I said to you, because I didn't know you that well...
Oh, you brought this up about 100 times.
Exactly.
I'm not sure
I said to you, if you had to pick one vegetable to eat for the rest of your life and one fruit to eat for the rest of your life...
You said,
are we really having this conversation? Well, whoopee-doo, look where we are 15 years later. In our own house and calling it entertainment. And do you know what? I found it quite entertaining.
I did.
And I stand by that question.
The first time I said it, I said, are we really having this conversation?
Yeah.
You interrupted me because I hadn't finished my sentence. I wanted to say, I'm not recording it because it's that good. Are we really having this conversation and not recording it?
Look, are we really having this conversation now in a car and not recording it for a podcast, for a show that we haven't done yet?
Yeah, and you just said, what's a podcast?
I don't think you even had sex by then. Never mind, had kids.
I had sex.
Oh, come on. Oh, God. Get the old grapefruits out. He's ready to go. Guest today, Josh. I'm excited about this guest. I love Jess. Jess Foster Q, who we've gigged with for years, haven't we? She's a very funny
she's
comedian.
Great. Very funny. Very
and
good.
She's got kids, hasn't she?
She's got a kid. We talked to her about it.
Yeah, that's how it works.
We haven't done the interview yet. That's why we're doing it. That's why we're normally we go, this is great. We've done it. We're actually about to do it.
No, I know it's going to be great, but there's no point I could be like, and it's really interesting when, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we've got nothing to say now.
Because all comedians really, this is why this works for us, because we're all egomaniac, narcissist, nutters.
What? How dare
so,
you?
at a gig, all you're really talking about is comedian, other comedians you dislike and how your jokes went. So I don't really know much about Jess's kid. And that's what I'm going to find out now with the listener.
Here we go.
Enjoy. Jess Foster Q, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on, Jess. I've not seen you for ages.
I know, a million years. Thanks for having me.
I know now we're all grown up and got kids and stuff.
I know, gross.
It's awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Talk us through your at-home setup,
okay,
if you don't mind.
So,
well, if you do mind, this is going to be a very short episode.
Really short.
I don't really like talking about my kids, actually.
I prefer not to talk about my family.
I've got 1 7-year-old human boy. And then it's all quite complicated and modern.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. We love complicated and modern.
Love it.
Yeah. we're two complicated and modern guys. Well, we're not complicated, are we, Rob? I don't know.
I don't think I'm very modern. I think I'm a guy. At the moment, all I'm sort of 89% sure of.
I think I'm complicated and modern.
Okay. What a great team. And so I live with my girlfriend and my son. And my son also lives, I'd say, about a third of the time with his dad, who's 20 minutes walk away down the road.
Ah.
So that's our setup. Yeah.
That's not that complicated.
It's not that complicated, but if you saw the spreadsheet that I keep... I think most people so basically I co-parent with his dad, and then we've sort of got my missus as a backup. I recently learned the word sparent, which I thought she'd love, because it feels like a nice sort of innovative twist on step-parent.
Right, rather than step-parent, is sparent.
Yeah, but I said it to her, I was like, oh, I've learned this word, and she was like, nah. And I think, actually, it doesn't make her sound important enough.
Yeah,
I think I agree with her. It makes you feel slightly like, oh, yeah, that person as well.
You're here,
so I might as well give you a name.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Prince Harry.
Oh, yeah, he's done a whole book called... Sparent.
He did a spare. His whole book was called Spare. It defined his life.
Now that, he's modern and complicated. Very modern.
Very complicated.
Lot going on over there. So then, excuse my ignorance, Jess, you don't need to answer that. So you were with romantically with the dad.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then a life change happened, and then that stopped.
That stopped.
Yeah.
We broke up when my son was about three, so about 4 years ago. And I had intended to be a sort of single parent and single generally and having a really fun life for a couple of years. But infuriatingly fell in love within months.
Oh, that's annoying.
Oh, I know. That wasn't the plan.
Yeah.
So now here we are with our very modern setup.
And how does it work when you say you've got a spreadsheet?
Yeah.
So, because I've got friends, obviously, who are... co-parenting, and they have very set days.
Yeah.
Are you free and easy? I've got Pilates on a Tuesday. I've got yoga on a Wednesday. We'll exchange those. Are you those kind of people?
So basically, in the I have to hats off to my son's dad and to my missus and to my son, because basically it has to be like that, not because we're cool, but because of the nature of my work. Basically, it's my fault. There's a shared document.
Is it a shared Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah.
And who's on that? Just you and the
me
dad.
Me and the dad. Yeah. Right.
No spare.
Yeah,
The sparent's on, but she hasn't got editing property. Hasn't got editing.
She's on that shit Apple one, Pages or whatever it is. She has to download a special CSV file to access it or something like that. She's on a PDF printout.
And so how far ahead are you plotting in?
So mid-month, I do the next month. So once I'm past 10, I love planning. I do love planning.
Yeah, I'd love that bit. It almost makes me want to split up with Rose, the thought of the spreadsheet.
Oh, God, I hope you've been doing this for so long now that she doesn't listen. So she'll never...
No, she can give a fuck.
Yeah.
She can give a fuck.
She only listens to half the episode because that's what she'll get if you broke up.
I went through the other day what Rose has consumed of my career output, and it is embarrassing.
Is
like
it?
She's read neither book. She's watched one episode of my sitcom. She watched one episode of Hypothetical. She hasn't seen The Last Leg since she used to come down to the green room. She could not be less of a fan of me.
Well, did you meet your partner at a gig? Because that's the danger, isn't it? Because I met Lou before I was a comedian. Mm. But I think it is a weird, slightly odd power dynamic when audience and performer. But I don't know if you met at a gig or not.
No, I didn't meet Steph at a gig, but I met. We got together during an Edinburgh festival. But she's a writer; she had a play on there. She writes like serious, proper things. And yeah, it is funny that even within less than 4 years, is that summer when we got together, I think she saw that show three times, maybe four times. Brought all her friends, and then now, yeah, I just had a 10-minute short out. It was a struggle to get her through that. I don't blame her though.
Yeah, but don't you want? You'll have to go to one of her fucking serious plays then. If she starts coming to your comedy, don't want to do
that. I've been to all of them. They're all heartbreaking. I need therapy after every single one of them.
And that's the problem with that is because it's a play.
Yeah,
you have to go. Like that's an event you go to. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's like a thing that exists. Like, Rose can just keep kicking it down the thing, go, yeah, I am going to read the Parenting Hell book, but I'm just really busy. Whereas with a play, you have to go.
Did she come and see your tour show?
Rose?
Yeah.
She came once in London.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But it's very much, Lou's the same. She comes once in London, and it's very much like visiting an uncle in prison. Yeah. You have to go once. To show that you've not disowned him. However, you do want that relationship to sort of peter out.
So your son's away for some of the time, and is there an awful thing? Is there a freedom to it?
It's lovely. It's really nice. Yeah.
I didn't know how to ask, but thank you for taking it.
It's when it really, when I really realised, because it was quite new. That it'd only been the setup probably for about 6 months when we went into the first lockdown. Mm. And that's when I really thought, I've nailed this. Because at that point, he lived on the same road. So we were obviously in a bubble. And it was before I lived with my partner. And I mean, that to get away from a 4-year-old every couple of days just for 24 hours. Was a touch, and I found myself whenever I had a job, you know, when I was talking online with anyone who had a similar setup, we'd be going, we'd just be like cackling that we weren't still with our partner, so that we got like tiny little breaks. I'm sorry to brag, but it's amazing in terms of like sleep and I don't know, you know what it's like when you like work late, whatever, like it's just so nice.
I was thinking this about a friend who's split up. You're less liable to think, I should sort this sleep issue, because you think, well, in 2 days they won't be here anyway. It's only like, it's only like 2/3 of my week I'm having to deal with this. So if they're sleeping in my bed, that's fine.
Yeah, it's but what has emerged now over the years is that, well, I used to joke when my son was a toddler that he was sexist, but now he's 7. he still is. And so that is a worry, yeah. And where it's really glaring now, well, there's a lot of mansplaining happening at the moment, but generally he will go to bed really nicely at his dad's. He will tidy up at his dad's. Right. He will wash up. He will put things away. He will put dirty clothes where their men go. And here he just expects that to be done by at least one of the two women.
He's a little sexist.
Yeah.
The other, I don't want to, you know, play devil's advocate here, but the dad might be a better parent, Jess. Is that
a
potential?
Okay, there is that, yeah. There is a chance. I mean, he just is responding better to the, he's happier to comply to someone he respects. Yeah.
Well, my daughters, though, Lou's been saying my daughters, they do not respect her.
Yeah,
but they'll listen to me a bit more. But I don't know if that's a girl thing, because they argue like they're on a hen do. My daughters and my wife.
My daughter doesn't respect me nearly as much as she respects Rose.
Right. Okay. So it's
not a parenting quality thing in our house. I'm not. Right, okay.
Not in Jess's. He's sexist. No. Let's not get away from this 7-year-old. He's obviously a sexist pig.
Yeah. Do you have to have conversations with your ex about, like, tactics and discipline and where you draw the line and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, God, yeah. But also, I think that, like, he is a better parent than me in the sense that he's just got much clearer, more consistent boundaries. Right. Yeah. But he's also, like, he's way rulesier than me. So we just have to, like, it's very hard to have a consistent front on that thing. And, like, I don't know, he'll be much stingier about what my son can watch.
Right.
Right.
What are you letting him watch, Andrew Tate?
QB News or bust in my house for my son. That's your homeschooling.
He's got his Jordan Peterson book out again, sat there, feet up, cigar on the
go. Do you, with him, do you have a situation where, like, will he play you off against each other and say, my dad lets me do this? Oh, well, I suppose he doesn't. I wonder if he's playing his dad off against you, saying, my mum lets me do this.
Yeah, or do he'll definitely be doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's also, I mean, he's also sort of openly embarrassed about me to his dad and in public. Yeah. It'd be like, oh, my mum's language is disgusting. He's always, like, bragging about. And he says out loud, within the last 24 hours, he said out loud to me, you're not a very good parent.
Oh, what?
That age, they do start to get quite chippy, don't they? They get a bit confident.
He's sassbag. He's really... But it's all a little smirk. I mean, yeah. Annoyingly, it's quite funny.
Because yeah, they're trying to wind you up. That's what we find. Yeah. They'll say anything. Like, Lou went out the other day and put an outfit on, and my daughter says, she's 7, are you going out like that, Mum? Is that what you're wearing, is it? And I'm just like... Yes.
Ooh.
But that is like just but she doesn't, she's just sort of trying to wind her up about anything, but doesn't really realise that some people might be really insecure about that.
Yeah. It's, we were at yesterday I dragged him to the gym because they can just sort of like sit and do their colouring or whatever. Someone in the gym said, sniff my disgusting wrists. Wrap things. They smell vinegary and cheese.
Oh, thank God. Thank God it ended like that, Jess. I was going to say...
To your child?
No. To me and to other adults. Right. They were, right. But my son was like, can I smell it?
All right.
And she was like, yeah. And he smelled it. He was like, whoa. And he got a big laugh off that. And then he went, that smells worse than my mum's bum. And that got a massive laugh.
Yeah, that's going to get a huge laugh, of course.
But then he just cracks on. You know, everyone's moved on. Everyone's just carrying on with whatever they're doing in the gym. And he's still there shouting, my mum's bum stinks. And you're like, oh, God. And I was like, love. Can you stop now? It was really funny the first time, but can you stop now? And he went, he never gets old. Where's he got that from?
But
never gets old.
That is heartbreaking, though. When your kids say something funny and everyone laughs, and you're like, oh, that, you know, well fair play. Yeah. That was pretty funny. Yeah. And then they keep doing it and it gets less funny. And then you're like, you're actually embarrassing me now. I can't be associated with this level of banter. It's not so on a stag do, and the banter sheet sort of just drift off to the corner of the pub. Like, I don't want anyone to say I'm actually part of that group, but when they're young, they don't know any better and they just keep churning it out.
Yeah, same joke again and again and again until it's arid, until people are not laughing, they're angry. Yeah.
What's it like taking your son to the gym? Because you have a situation, you're a big. Weightlifter, aren't you? Not a big weightlifter. You're big into weightlifting.
Yeah, both times, yeah.
Have you always been into weightlifting?
No. I got into it in my sort of early 30s, sort of a little bit.
And you compete, don't you?
I have some, yeah. That's I do amazing. CrossFit. It's like a cult. It's like, it calls itself a sport, but it's a brand and a company. But yeah, it's very addictive. Yeah.
And what can you lift?
Oh, what do you mean? Deadlift?
Says from
a man that don't lift nothing. Oh, bloody weak arms. I mean, I don't know either. I don't go to the gym.
Weak arms is my favourite insult.
Look at those.
Oh, pretty good, actually, Josh. Bit of definition there.
That was actually, that looks better than I thought it was going to.
I didn't know you wanked with your left arm. Weird for a righty.
So does your son want to do weightlifting?
Yeah, he does do it. He goes to Olympic weightlifting classes, yeah.
Kids Olympic weightlifting. Amazing. Where did you find that?
Talk me through that.
My gym. So the woman that runs my gym was a Commonwealth Olympic weightlifter. So that's the one where you just do this two lifts, a snatch and a clean and jerk. And it's very like, it is strength-based, but it's also really technical. It's almost like a dance. Yeah. There's a lot of like moving up and down at the same time and that kind of stuff. And so I think kids are actually... sort of naturally really good at it because they've got like effortless mobility and endless energy.
So what's he lifting?
He's not lifting much, so
it's all about technique, the deadlift, Josh. It's all about technique when you build up.
So what's funny with that, if kids compete, under 12s, they're not judged on, like, whoever lifts the most isn't the winner. Your score will be made up of how good you look when you're doing it, basically, how well you're doing the movement.
Oh, right.
Not just like if they're a particularly, like, handsome pretty child.
I tell you what, he's 3 kilograms, but look at this guy's smile. Those eyes. Oh, is he enjoying it? Does he like it?
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, there's going to be an age that he's not going to want to do it because no one wants to go and do what the sport their parents does.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm just enjoying it while it lasts.
Yeah,
he's going to hate it at any time.
How do you feel about that as he gets older and stuff like that? Because, like you say, he's got quite a modern and complicated set up at home, and then he's at primary school and he's going to secondary school. Is that something you think about or you're preparing for or have answers for him and stuff? Or do you think...
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to prepare for it, to be honest. Oh, God, I'm sure a better parent would have thought about that.
Well, no, I agree. I think you can't prepare for a situation that doesn't exist.
Exactly. Yet. Like, and actually, even explaining the current setup to a seven-year-old is so... I mean, it's funny because they don't understand romantic love. They don't understand the difference between that and you. And at this age, he still is like, well, I mean, ideally, you'll marry me. And even if...
Right, yeah. That would be modern and complicated. That would be modern and complicated.
I went about modern.
Throwback, retro, if anything.
So I've explained it as best I can, and it's so hard because you can't say like, well, he was like, well, I remember really early on, so it was a few years ago, he was like, well, Jacob is my boyfriend, and it's sort of his best friend. It's my friend's son and lives miles away and barely sees him. And I said, yeah, I mean, the thing is, he sort of isn't. And he's like, he is. And I was like, okay, all right. And he was like, well, what is the difference? And I was like, I suppose it's more like... You just can't. How do you explain it? You know, do you want to rip all their clothes off?
It's a mate you don't shag. He's your friend.
I probably mucked it right up because at one point he went, well, I love Jacob and I'm holding his hand if he wants, maybe to cross a road, but he's not getting a kiss. And I was like, all right, fair enough. Absolutely fair enough. And I thought he'd explained our setup to his friends at school. And I had a big wake up call that he hadn't when he had. A friend round for a play date. I call her Ivy. And she was really sweet. She's one of those, like, at the time, six-year-olds that's, like, got the energy of an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Just tall and glorious and rides a big white bike and just really cool. Just cool, like an adult in a kid's body. As soon as she walked in, she was like, oh, let's have a look around your house. Like,
I like Ivy.
I love seeing other people's houses. And my partner Steph was around for the whole of this play date, and then towards the end Steph went out, and Ivy went, so that woman, she just popped around whenever she wants, or I didn't realise Rudy hadn't explained it. That's my girlfriend, that's my partner, and she just sort of took it in and then went, oh, well, I suppose it's fine to be gay, but I do want to meet the dad. And it wasn't, there was no, like, malice in it, but obviously she's like, well, I haven't completed the set.
Yes.
That's annoying. I thought that was a cleaner.
Oh, you obviously, you know, he'll be talking about his mum and dad at school and stuff, so she's expecting to see both, like, if she's not knowing the setup. But the kids are so funny.
And he thought, potentially, he's maybe mentioned this other woman who pops around whenever she likes.
Yeah. That's amazing.
The old spare parent.
Oh, that's so good. And so that's the thing as well. You don't want to over explain and go, just so you know, this might come up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, it's really tricky. There was a thing a while ago where his school are quite chilled out and they're allowed to like paint their nails or whatever if they want. And he's into that. Like he's got his load of his own nail varnishes and he wanted to do his nails for school, and there was a kid at school, he stopped doing it, and I asked why. I was like, just stop feeling like doing that. And he was like, no. And he said these two lads' names, and he was like, they keep going, it's gay. And I was like, okay. Mm. And it's that thing where that's the first, so far, only one. I mean, they're so young, but where it's been like, oh, God. And actually, I had a conversation with his dad, and I thought, what is the point? And he, to be fair, his dad was more sort of, than me was like, do you think we should say something? I think we should say something because, and I thought, I don't know that we should. I don't think the kids realise not this young anyway. I was like, I don't think those 5 and 6 year olds have any idea what they're saying, really. Yeah, they I don't think they understand it.
From
they will have heard
adults
that somewhere, but
that shouldn't
or
be saying
from an
that.
Older kid. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But equally, also the thing that clinched it for me was my son's not that offended because he doesn't understand what they're saying. Yeah. And I was like, why make him more upset than he's not that upset by that. He's just a word that he thinks is thrown around. And we sort of did vaguely say, you don't really say that word in to mean rubbish. Like, and we sort of explained that bit. And he was like, all right.
So where are you living? Are you in London?
South East London, Lewisham.
Lewisham, I mean...
Your ends, Rob.
My ends. So, you know, I live around there for years. I've moved out a bit further now, but it's not like the most progressive place in certain areas of it. Like where you are in East London, Josh, is a little bit more like you're going, it's a bit more creative. But South East London, you still do get them old school South East London types that will say stuff like, I've got extended family that say stuff. And most family occasions, I end up having a row and leaving. And I'm just like, you just can't say that. And Lou goes, oh. And I go, no, Lou, we can't. You can't talk the talk and not walk the walk. And then I'll be in like a church or a Christmas and go, no, you can't say that. Why can't I say that? Well, you can't. Right. No, but I'm only joking. Yeah, it's not really a joke, is it? How do you know? Well, if anyone should, it should be me. It's actually my job. So I find it very difficult. So, that's it. Yeah. But it is tricky, though. And ultimately, as well, whatever happens to your child at school, whether it is about your own setup or about other things, there's a million things kids get teased about or stuff shouted at them. You can only really do so much. So the school needs to be on top of it, but it's sort of... Mm. Helping the kid to learn how to deal with it, because the reality is you and their dad can't sort that out. They sort of have to do it, but you could be supportive, but it's it is tricky because you want to be too involved but then not enough. It's a balance.
Also, it'll be 10 and he'll be benching 100 kg, so it's fine.
Exactly. Or it'll be 7 kg, but it'll be so handsome no one will care, and either way he's on such a winner.
Yeah, same thing, bit of both.
Yeah.
How's the summer holiday been?
Oh, long.
But you get the breaks, I suppose.
You're obsessed with the breaks, Josh.
It's
the first
so
man
sorry.
To get divorced for a fucking lie down.
Do you want to see other people? No, I don't want to see anyone. That's the point.
I just want to be alone.
That's the point of this.
Summer has been fun, I think, because normally I sort of ruin everyone's summer by doing the Fringe up in Edinburgh, and I'm not doing that this year. So I've really, put a shift in.
What have you done? What's been on the agenda this summer then, Jess? What have you?
Now I feel like I'm nothing particularly special. We went to France with some friends.
I'd say the worst, that if you've done nothing and the worst you've done as a parent, there's some more the listeners will like you. You're on a win-win here.
Took him down to my mum's in Dorset. Went to France with friends, and that was a touch. Like, I'm so used to getting in all the sticker books, getting everything ready for a week away. Do you know what I mean? And I got there, and this is the first time he's been old enough. As soon as we got there, oh my God, I've got a story for you. As soon as we got there, just off with other kids. That's it. I barely saw him.
Oh, brilliant.
The first time in nearly 8 years, I read a book on a holiday. And that was a game changer. So when we arrived, right? So it's a mate's. Parents have got this place in France they've had for a long, long time.
Right.
And the parents were still there when we arrived, just for a half hour before they left.
Handover.
And we got there. Rudy and I, my son and I, had been awake since 2 a.m. to get a 6 a.m. flight. He was wild by this point. I was really hoping he would sleep in the hire car. And when we got there, he was still awake and the parents were still there. So they're like, lovely, they're in their 70s. I've known them all my life. And my son goes out and gets straight in the pool, right, with the other kids. And we're all chatting away and it's all quite polite because they're, they're my elders. And then I was like, someone said, oh, I think Rudy's having a wee in that hedge. And I was like, oh. My friend said, I don't think it's a wee. It looks like it's having a shit. And my friend's mum, whose house it was and whose lavender bush it was, that my son had dropped trout. His mate in the pool he'd said, I need a poo. And his friend had gone, you can go in the bush if you want, thinking he'll never do it. He did it. He dropped his trunks and curled out an adult-sized shit right into the lavender bush, right in front of my friend's mum who planted that lavender bush.
Oh, my God.
And she went, I hope he's not. And I was like, oh God. I could see it. I could see it curling out.
Oh.
I ran out. I was like, what are you doing? He was like, a poo. And I was like, why? And he went, I needed it. Jacob said, and what? I was like, you don't, everyone's just watching we were all just sat watching you do a shit in the edge. He was like, I'm doing it now. And
oh,
I was like,
bless him.
Okay,
finish it now. And I'll stand in front of you. I had to get someone's doggy poop bag. I had to scoop a hot fucking adult sized shit into a dog poop bag. I was like, okay, go inside and wipe. Let's go and have a shower. And then I was like, what do I do with the shit? My friend was like, wait till they're not looking and then just chuck it in that field. It was diabolical. And then a dog came over. While he was finishing it, a dog came over, kept trying to eat it.
Oh my God. Oh,
God. It was so gross. It was so gross. It was so embarrassing for him and for me. He's just crying because I've gone in too heavy with the why are you shitting? Because once you're shitting, you can't stop shitting.
And then you're feeling guilty for making it a bigger event.
Exactly. I felt guilty for making him feel like shit. The only person who loved every second of it was my friend's kid who'd told him to do
it. So he's the real villain in this.
He was delighted. No, I mean, he's also seven, but he was like, hee hee hee. And his mum said, Jacob, did you make him do that? And he went, it was massive.
It was massive.
Oh, also,
you just laugh it off if you're the homeowner. Was she laughing about it eventually?
They kept it together in front of me. And my friends who are like our age loved it.
Yeah,
of course they did. I think that the thing is, the lavender smell is so strong, it's gonna take back over.
Not as strong as this smell. Mate,
lavender is not as strong as human shit.
It's not strong enough. Not as strong as human shit.
It's got to be the strongest smell known to man.
Do you know what? Also, you're never really going to lean over and smell that lavender without knowing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That lavender bush just needs...
Imagine, though, you go back next year, it's double in size. They'll start shipping him over. Get him round for 2 weeks. Greatest fertiliser known to man.
Are you... And you're going on tour, right?
Yeah, next year, next one.
Next year.
Yeah.
Tickets are on sale in October. We'll put it on our social media. What's the show called?
Thank you. Metal, M-E-T-T-L-E. I'm not saying I regret it, but I'm going to have to explain it and spell it every time.
Metal.
Every time I say it. Metal is in, you know, bit of grit.
Your metal.
Bit trying hard. Trying hard.
Yeah.
Bothering to try hard.
Right, yeah.
That's what it's sort of about. I think it's funny. I think basically the older I get, and I just turned 40, so I'm having a moment.
Congratulations. Happy 40.
I was turning 40.
Josh had a complete breakdown. How did you do
that? Oh, I did have a wobble. But what's embarrassing is I think I've had a wobble before 30, and that's because at 29, I had nothing I knew I wanted. I wanted to love and be loved. I wanted kids. I wanted to own my own house. I wanted to do well enough at comedy to be allowed on the telly and radio. I want to make things I wrote. And I was like, so what's the wobble about? Because you have actually got those things. So I think the wobble is about my face looks old.
It doesn't even look old.
Oh, mate, it does. It does get better.
It looks about 38. It looks fine.
No, but everyone's face looks older than it was.
I know, it's annoying, isn't it? Not everyone's, actually.
At least you could, you know, that's the wobble at 40 is the age thing, isn't it? Because at 30, you want those things and you've got all those things. But the thing you want now, Jess, and sorry to break it to you, you can't get.
Yeah.
Oh, you can.
You can't.
Snip, snip.
Snip, snip.
Well,
snip.
Yeah, you can if you go down that route.
Yeah. I think it would be so off-brand if I suddenly went full Kardashian. But yeah, I mean.
I'd get my back fat put in my arse.
Would you?
Yeah.
A Brazilian butt lift, but with back fat.
I'd quite like to have more of an arse. I've got good legs, though. My legs are good. I think I've got leg energy.
Nice.
But then that's mainly because my top half's so heavy, they have to be strong.
Would you get your eyes lasered? I just don't see why you would. I prefer wearing glasses.
No, but I was thinking about getting done, just because it's easier than not having to have glasses with you all the time.
Gee, I love wearing glasses.
When I'm laying on my front trying to watch TikTok as I slowly pass out, sometimes my glasses get all skewed. So
do you sleep on your front?
Yeah, I'm trying to sleep on my back because that's better for you than on your front, but that is my little sort of cosy fetal position. How do you sleep, Jess? Now you're a weightlifted athlete. Have you got a specific way?
Side curled up like I'm still in the uterus.
Strong. That's good, though, for your back, being on your side
is
or
it?
Your back.
Is it?
Yeah.
I sleep curled up in the sort of top left-hand corner of my bed because my missus wants to snuggle in and I hate to be touched once I'm trying to go to sleep.
Yes.
So I sort of like, I'm creeping away from it the whole time.
I don't get those people that cuddle up all night next to each other.
I do not understand. And she wants to chat.
We love a bit of that.
Do you cuddle up?
Oh.
So do you go to bed cuddling?
Yeah.
It's not like a quick hug. Is it like like a spoon.
I think the term is spoon, yeah.
And doesn't Rose's back get cold when she's spooning you?
We will do both ways, Rob.
Will you?
Sometimes, yeah.
So is that our complete 50-50?
It's 2023.
I like being next to Lou in the bed, but the actual cuddling and holding for like two or three hours, absolutely not. I'd get so hot.
Of course, I love a cuddle all day and all night. But apart from those seconds when I'm trying to sleep, when I actually want to go to sleep, even if a hand is on me, it's like, good, get off.
Yeah, really? No, I don't like being touched when I'm going to sleep.
My brain won't switch off if there's any physical contact.
Really?
Yeah, but you sleep with the duvet over your head, Josh. Do you cover?
I have the duvet over my head.
Do you? How do you breathe?
I have my nose and mouth out.
But what about Rose when you're spooning her?
So the duvet would go over my head and then down and over her shoulder.
So you're still covering your face?
Of course I am. I'm not mental.
How are we the weird people here, Jess?
I don't get it.
I just like a snuggle, Rob. I just like to feel secure and wanted and needed at night.
Yeah, I do in the, you know, the day and like stuff, but not when I'm sleeping. But everyone's different.
Yeah.
That Lou sleeps really high up the bed, so like her head's like millimeters away from the headboard, where I like being a bit further back. So sometimes when I wake up, I just feel like my wife's like 7 foot.
So you're further down?
Yeah, so it's quite weird actually.
Looking up.
What's your views on making the bed?
I don't mind it. I'm very efficient at that because I used to be a chambermaid when I was a child.
Do you do it every day?
Yes.
Rose can't say enjoy being downstairs if she knows the bed isn't made.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So if we get up, she needs it to be made straight away.
It could be how you started the grounds for the divorce that you want, is that one day you just don't make it.
Yeah, that is a good idea. The day I didn't make the bed and it all went wrong.
She knows it's over.
So the tour is next year, Jess?
Yeah, tour's next year, yeah.
Excited?
I am excited.
Are you taking the kid with you? No.
I will take him when then. Oh, hopefully I've arranged it.
Has he come to a gig yet?
No. No, he's desperate to. I think he'd heckle.
I'll take him.
I think he'd heckle. I can't trust him not to start shouting about my smelly ass.
Yeah, no, but that's a good 5 minutes, isn't it? Until you just tell someone to take him away.
Yeah.
How'd you get your kid kicked out your own gig? What a story.
You can only come to a gig where there's really good security. Yeah.
Well, he'll just start shouting, women aren't funny, with his old sexist ways.
Get your tits out.
I think you need to move him out of South East London, personally, Jess. Yeah. I think you're creating a monster here.
Shall we do the final question?
So the question is how... basically, it's more different when they're separated from their partner. But the question is, the best thing and worst thing about the way your partner or co-parent parents...
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't really ever want to do anything negative, which is understandable when they're no longer together, because it might, you know, for the sake of selling a couple of tickets for your tour and a podcast, it's not really worth opening that wound when he's like, his auntie listens and texts him.
No, don't worry, I'll tuck in.
So what is the one thing about your co-parent, your son's dad, that they do parenting-wise, they think, oh, that's amazing, I'm so happy that we've got this child together. And one thing is sort of wind you up a little bit, and if he was to listen, he'd go, yeah, fair enough, she's got a point. But you don't have to, I don't want to cause dramas.
I don't know whether he'd say, fair enough, you've got a point. So I think the thing he does brilliantly, my son's dad, is...
fair enough, you've got a point. I love it the next time he dropped the boy off and just opened the door and went, fair enough, he got a point, and just walks off.
Do you think he'll listen to this, Jess?
Potentially, yeah. We've got an arrangement where I'm not allowed to do any more stand-up about him ever. But I think podcasts are fair game.
Yeah, it's not the small print.
Oh, parenting, it would be rude if I hadn't mentioned
also,
it.
It's not a joke. You're being nice about him, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, he is a brilliant dad. He is a classy dad. He's a classy
ex. Told us he's better than
really,
you.
Yeah, he is way better than me. Exactly. Yeah, proof's in the human son and his behaviour with him compared to with me. What he does brilliantly, which I find extraordinary and we're very different, is that he parents without anger, ever. He doesn't ever get annoyed. I suppose mildly irritated. And he has big emotions, but he's never angry. He's like the least angry man I've ever met. And that is, I think, so glorious. And I'm in awe of that because I get really annoyed. What does he do that... he's going to hate this, but I'm going to say it.
Fair enough.
It's a small thing, and I do... Well, because I'm watching my son emulate it and I want it to stop. Is my ex, his dad, is a he's like a shit winner at games.
Right, okay.
He's like, yes, yes, get in, yes. And like, there's no humility in victory.
I think that's just men. I don't think this is a your son or him issue.
But this is it, like when you've got like a man in his 50s going, loser, to someone who he's just beaten, you're like, well, this 7-year-old doesn't stand a chance.
Jess, thank you so much for this. It's been really refreshing to hear someone talking about co-parent and stuff like that. If there's anyone listening that's sort of quite anxious about it, or it's on the horizon and stuff like that, is there any advice you'd give to people?
Or is interested in it like I am?
Or just need a little bit of tipping over to be pushed into it. But like, is there any advice you'd give for someone that is now faced with a situation when they are splitting the child's time between two households and two parents?
I think that you can make up a setup that works for you. Like, there are going to be people who are like, well, for consistency's sake, we will need to do something the same, that's the same every week or the same every fortnight. But actually, like, that didn't work for us, so we've been able to be more flexible. I think the same, you get such rigid advice about what to do about money, what to do about this. Look at your situation and what's going to make both of you feel the best and function the best and the happiest. And then I think this is so... I think there's a lot of emotion and a lot of guilt around ending a relationship when there are kids involved. But it's absolutely possible to do it with the kids' interests are number one. And actually it sort of simplifies the logistics of it. If every decision you make go, well, what is the best for them or him or her?
Yeah.
What is the best? Like, what's going to be the best thing for the kid in this situation? If we can't work out what to do, then that just you just go with that option every time, basically.
Yeah.
It's a nice like guide to have to, because there's so many decisions that are hard to make. If you're guided by that, then it also can take the edge off any sort of inevitable bits of guilt and emotion here and there that are going to come with it.
Yeah, because I imagine, like, you know, say for example, like, oh, he normally has him on a Saturday or something, but you're coming back from France really late because that's when the flight was.
Yeah,
you know, and you get in at 4 a.m. and you don't want him knocking at the door going, actually, I have him from 9, and this poor kid's needs to sleep. You know,
being flexible around that,
best for the kid, and it's a good sort of starting point, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And it basically just had to be so organised. You just have to be really organised, and that helps.
Right, get a spreadsheet.
Get
your blimmin' spreadsheet out.
Well, Josh, why don't you, in the next couple of weeks, why don't you put together your proposed how you would split the kids with your
rose
and see? Yeah. And just a little pitch document to go, look, this. I'm just saying, if it were to happen, this is how I think it should run. Jess, thank you so much. It's been brilliant. Good luck with the tour.
Thank you so much, Jess.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been so fun.
Follow Jess on Instagram for the tour info. We'll put it on our Instagram. What's your Instagram, Jess?
At Jessica Foster Q.
There
and
you go.
What's your website, Jess? So I imagine they can sign up to your mailing list and they'll get an email when the tour's on sale. There you go.
That's true. And the new website is coming any second, actually. It's jessicafosterq.com.
Right. So get on there when it's up, mailing list, and you'll get tickets. You'll be first in line. Thanks so much, Jess. That was brilliant.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
Jess Foster Q. Rob, I've got to be honest. Yeah. I've got to go and get my neck done by an osteopath.
Of course you have. Was it too loose or too stiff? What's the problem?
What do you think? Too fucking stiff, mate.
Also, yeah, your osteopath is a really loose one. How's he going to make it stiffer? Just like wobbling it about in his hands like a pizza dough.
I'll let you know how it goes in the next one.
Love that one. It was really good, actually, I thought, as well, because it's always good to have people talking about different setups. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that
brilliant.
Is love really
Jess.
Good. Thanks, Jess.
And go and see her on tour. We'll put the details up, but sign up to her mailing list. We'll be back on Tuesday.
Right. Speak to you later, mate. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Giles Brandreth. What's the very first thing you remember? That's the question I'll be asking my famous and fascinating guests in Rosebud, my new podcast about first memories and first experiences.
My first memory is handing my Auntie Muriel a piece of turd.
Other guests include Dame Judi Dench, Alison Hammond and Rory Stewart. Download and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Giles Alderson.
And I'm Dom Lenoir.
We are filmmakers, and we are two of the hosts of the Filmmakers Podcast.
Which is a podcast about filmmaking, surprisingly.
Where we interview guests from the filmmaking and TV world about how they make their films and TV.
Including BAFTA and Oscar winners, and the journey and challenges they go through to get them made.
Guests have included
Stephen Fry, Joe Wright,
Christy Wilson-Cairns, Fernando Morales,
Alice Eve, Mark Strong,
and Ian McKellen.
Just to name a few.
And many, many indie filmmakers, all about how they make the films and TV, from micro budget to studio movies
and everything in between.
So if you like filmmaking or want to know how films are made, then listen to the Filmmakers Podcast.
Wherever.